Okay, so my story is quite different. A lot of people started charity organizations because maybe they were underprivileged or they were in a situation where they had nothing or they were deprived, and then they thought about starting something.
Do you know that non-governmental organizations are working ceaselessly to make the world a better place?
We see a future where young people are connected and act together as agents of change.
Making the dream of children living in undeserved communities.
And I am well known for championing children's right to education.
Poverty alleviation, humanitarian aid.
Where every child, regardless of your geographical location,
healthcare,
socioeconomic status or religious background, will have access to quality education.
We are concerned about people's health and livelihood.
Leadership development and community development.
Yes, NGOs are working for the sustainability of all, especially the less privileged. Yes. Their voice deserves to be heard. NGO Podcast is the voice of NGOs. I am Jimo Oluwatobishegun. Stay tuned.
Hi. Welcome to the NGO Podcast Show, a podcast which brings the diverse and vigorous voices of global NGOs to people around the world. By engaging interviews with founders and leaders in the NGO community, problem-solving challenges, opportunities, and best practices. I am Jimo Oluwatobishegun. You can simply call me JOS. Access to early childhood education, primary and post-primary education, including vocational education and trainings, remains a key challenge for the African continent. For example, out of 61 million children who are old enough to go to primary school are still out of school. 31 million of them are found in the sub-Saharan part of the African continent. Most of these children who are out of school are girls and children from poor and remote areas, and those affected by conflict and discrimination. The continued use of child labor has piled up this problem and denied children their basic right to learn. However, educational quality remains a serious challenge in Africa. Many countries in the African continent continue to experience shortages of basic facilities, infrastructure, equipment, teaching and learning materials. In addition, the unavailability of electricity, clean water and sanitation facilities, which includes toilets for both girls and boys, remains a key challenge, particularly in the rural schools of the African continent. With that being said, non-government organizations have stood up in different parts of the African continent to contribute their own quota and make things right for the African child. Out of this organization doing fantastically well is African Education Aid for Development Network, a non-for-profit organization which is based in Lagos State, Nigeria, West Africa. And on this episode, I will be speaking with Judith Obi, the executive director of the organization, a young change maker and an amazing lady.
Okay, my name is Judith Obi. I'm the founder of Africa Education Aid for Development Network. I'm 26 years old. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for introducing us. How do you feel to be a guest on this podcast?
It's a quite humbling experience. It's good to know, you know, as a charity organization, that people are aware of what you're doing, and to be singled out to, you know, speak on a platform like this. So I'm quite excited to be here.
Thank you very much. You run an NGO, a non-government organization. That is why you have been privileged to be featured on this podcast. Would you please tell the listener about your organization?
Okay, so Africa Education Aid for Development Network, as the name implies, is a network of young people, you know, solving various educational challenges across Africa. So Africa Education Aid Network was founded in 2014, and over the years we work towards tackling the underlying challenges that prevent children from going to school and staying in school in Africa. The ultimate goal is to ensure that every child has access to quality education in Africa.
Awesome. Now you're talking about education. The way you're speaking, it's not that you didn't have a quality education here, you have the access to quality education. But what was the incident that prompted you to start this organization?
Okay, so my story is quite different. A lot of people started charity organizations because maybe they were underprivileged or they were in a situation where they had nothing or they were deprived, and then they thought about starting something. But my father would always tell us that in my dialect, he says "Madubuibe," it means that we share same humanity. so that we do not need to pass through certain things to be able to realize that other people are going through hell or need help. So, I mean, looking through my own community and seeing that a lot of children were out of school, you know, it pained me and I decided to do something about it. And this is me trying to find out what I can do for the community and not necessarily what the community can do for me. You know, so we started one child at a time, ensuring that this child goes to school and stays in school. You know, eventually we realized that the need was much more wider. We realized that we also need to, you know, give other people a platform to be part of what we are doing. So that was how, you know, the organization started.
This is quite awesome. You may mention that you started the organization in the year 2014 and you've been able to implement a lot of projects which got you some few recognition, and that's awesome. And having members across every part of the African continent, talking about Nigeria, Uganda, South Africa and Tanzania, how are you able to manage members' function with members spread across the African continent? How are you able to pull it through as in manage their membership function from different parts of the continent, African continent?
Okay, I'd like to make people understand that leadership is actually being able to influence or communicate your ideas and vision to people and having them run with it. As young people, we must realize that the needs that we try to tackle, as young people in the humanitarian sector, the needs that we try to intervene on, we cannot do it by ourselves. Synergy is very, very important, especially in the humanitarian sphere, you know, try to reach out to people. So, I mean, when I started, I had Africa in view. I knew from day one that I cannot do it alone. So I leveraged on my contacts, I leveraged on international conferences of which I was privileged to attend to be able to share the vision of Africa Education Aid to people that I knew from other countries. And, you know, I was able to communicate the vision, they caught the vision, you know, they were eager to help. And then before you knew it, we are in Uganda, Ghana, Cameroon, South Africa, Tanzania, Nigeria. And we're looking to, in fact, recently we are, you know, stepping into Kenya and Rwanda. And while we are doing this thing, we are not trying to just amass names or amass locations for ourselves. We are having young people who are able to do little things, and when you bring it together, it amounts to a collective great effort on their own end. So it's the lesson overall here is leverage on your contacts, leverage on relationships, synergize with already existing youth-led organization, you know, to be able to achieve results. Yeah.
Quite impressive, Miss Judith. Sorry, having members across different parts of the African continent, I'm very sure you'll be able to, as an implement and carry out a lot of projects. And would you please tell the listener few of the projects you've been able to implement, maybe in Uganda, Nigeria, South Africa, or Tanzania?
Okay, we've been able to do a lot of programs, but I'll just point out to the most recent. In 2016, we had a back-to-school outreach where we gave out to children, school kids, learning aids. We have children on scholarships under our organization. In 2016 alone, we reached out to 5,000 children with school aid, learning aid in Uganda, Nigeria, Cameroon, and Ghana. And of course, we did this by synergizing with our volunteers in these countries and youth-led organizations in this country. We were able to also conduct a menstrual hygiene sessions where we gave out menstrual hygiene pads, sanitary pads. We even had to prepare and develop a menstrual tracking sheet for young people to be able to track their periods, when it starts, when it's ending, you know, and all of that. We gave out about 1,200. We have 22 children on scholarship with us. And, you know, right now we are starting a summer literacy program where we have enrollment of over 300 to 500 children across Africa that we're intended to reach out to. So that's a bit of it.
Quite impressive. It's a huge and awesome project indeed. And having been able to do all this stuff, how have you been able to secure fundings? Or are you affiliated with international organization? Maybe they're the ones sponsoring your project or something like that. Will you please tell the listener about this?
Okay, young people, before starting the organization, even up till now, I consult as a business development person, and of course the line of my job or business entails trying to find out, develop businesses, trying to find out businesses that suits which business and merge them, you know, for partnership, financial relationship and all of that. I was able to bring that down to what I do in the organization. First of all, as a youth-led organization or as young people starting an organization, you want to find out which corporate organizations have, you know, similar interest in what you do. You're a charity organization, you run things that have to do with menstrual hygiene, and you're looking for help from an organization that has to do with education and maybe ICT and all of that. So we were able to leverage partnership with corporate organizations that have shared interests. We are able to leverage on relationship because, of course, your friends, family, people that consider your social media platform can also constitute, you know, to when it comes to project and funding. You must also be transparent. Over the years, we've had a track record of transparency. Our donors see what we do with their monies. We give them reports, and that way they're able to trust us and they're able to invest in what we do and apparently invest in the life of these people. So generally, it's corporate organization, individuals, family, myself, and of course, everybody that I've been able to talk to about the organization.
Awesome. This is quite impressive. I can see that you are a superwoman indeed. And back to you, Ijeoma. And you are a graduate from Abia State University, Nigeria, West Africa. Of course, you had a bachelor degree from the Department of Industrial Chemistry, probably first class or second class. Nobody knows. That's the topic for the other day. But how does that correspond with what you do now? Or do you have any other job or a side gig where you practice your profession?
That's the question that kept running through my mind, of course. And I'm sure you want to know how and where she practices her profession, being an industrial chemist. I'm too sure Judith has a side gig. Join me on the next episode as my guest, Judith Obi, will be telling us much more about the organization, their project so far, the challenges she encountered at the inception of the organization, and of course, what she does as a side gig apart from having a charity organization. Do make it a date with me on the next episode for the concluding part of this interview. I am still your dear friend, Jimo Oluwatobi Segun. You can simply call me JOS. Don't forget to bookmark our website for more interesting episodes to come. www.ngopodcast.com.ng www.ngopodcast.com.ng. And I'm going for today. But before I go, don't forget, you have a vital role to play in the human race. Government cannot do it all for you. Be ready to do yours. How we do this with you sometimes, no? See them. Keep impacting your world positively.